from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the Good Atheist Podcast. My name is Jacob Forge.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Now, we have some good news amidst what I guess has been some bad news. Now that I've broken up with Carissa, I'm in the East Coast, and me and Ryan are sitting in the same room about to record a podcast. I can't even tell you the last time we ever did that.
It's pretty crazy. So if you hear any echoing, that's because we're actually in a room, in a echoey kitchen room.
There's always a problem. That's it. There's never going to be a perfect solution until we have some kind of magical studio land. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
So welcome to our new little temporary one show echoey room. Today we're going to have kind of like a grab bag thing because I realized last episode when I announced that I was only going to be doing interviews. I kind of got some negative response from them. They're like, no, the crack is you and Ryan just chilling out and doing a show, and that's what we want. So I'm like, okay, all right, let's not have a tantrum here. We're gonna do a regular off the cuff kind of show where we just talk about issues of the day,
general atheist concerns.
Yeah, I'm sort of like let's take a look at the scene in general and talk about.
Oh, we're gonna get meta and talk about the atheism scene, no. And atheism in general. I want to talk about
not quite the scene in general, still topics related to atheism.
Sure, okay.
What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about hating God and religions. I mean, I recognize the fact that the atheism scene can be stupid sometimes, but. Let's not just focus all of our attention on that.
It's true. There does seem to be a lot of things that are kind of happening around us that we just need to be aware of. Things that kind of take up a lot of our cognitive effort, if you know what I mean. Like, for instance, all the crazy stuff happening in the U.S. where state by state, it's basically becoming impossible to have an abortion. Like, just, I think now Michigan is one of those states, quickly followed by Illinois, I think, Kentucky. And there's even talk, I saw this morning, about one state trying to change their own laws so that killing an abortion provider is a justifiable homicide. Yeah.
Ooh, that's bad.
That is bad. I don't think it's going to actually pass through, but this is the kind of things that are the only types of laws that are currently going on.
I just don't understand how you can put something like that forward and then say, well, I'm for the forces of good. And it's like, no, you got to realize in this equation, you are Mordor. You are the evil orc, the very obvious bad guy. Killing doctors, all good. Well, they were going to kill unborn baby fetuses.
Yeah, that seems like a justifiable thing to do. Why don't you go vigilante? That seems like something that an industrialized modern nation does.
I do remember when Jesus said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.
Oh, right. Exactly.
I remember that.
That was particularly him that said that exact same phrase. Here's the other thing. This is related to this issue because you were saying, here's the right going over and pretty much just giving a stamp of approval for any crazy wannabe murderer. Like, for instance, do you know that that kid that was kidnapped for, like, a number of days with this crazed gunman who held him hostage after shooting a bus driver?
Oh, yeah, in a bunker?
Yeah, that's right. You know what he was listening to a lot of?
Oh, geez, this is going to be a shocker.
Let me know. Like, some of that, conspiracy-mongering conservative radio that's like the government's coming to take you and all of your stuff. And I'm like, here's the irony of this guy being, like, one of those wackos. He lived in a FEMA fucking house. House provided by the very government that he's afraid is going to come take his shit. Well, I'm like, I don't think that shit's yours, bro, so maybe they can't come take it.
Well, let me tell you what, if anything's going to make you hate the government, living in government housing is probably up at the top of that list. But, that crazy conservative right-wing radio will do it too. And I can't even imagine, if you're a person who lives in, say, like some southern area, and there's a bunch of radio stations like this that you flip around, and that's kind of the whole of your world vision and where you get your news from, then it's no surprise that you're going to end up pretty deranged. Because we like to say that we're enlightened and we know so much more. It just happens to be that our news sources are better and more varied because of the internet.
Right.
But if you were limited by, I don't know, if your parents put up some kind of weird right-wing net nanny that stopped you from finding out all the real information and just fed you the bullshit, you know, of course you would end up just as bigoted and narrow-minded, because that's your sensory input. We are but programmable human beings that are just awaiting input to create these decisions. So it's not really surprising when the only thing you get influences your brain like that.
Well, this brings up the kind of interesting point that people talk about in these kinds of situations, was saying how much liability do some of these people have? Like, if you're like a Glenn Beck and you're telling everyone to buy crazy amounts of gold in your company that you hold shares in, and telling everyone that, you know, the government's going to come and fucking take you away, that you need to hoard food, and then all of a sudden some incident happens where one of these crazed fools does something, you know, naturally pretty crazy, and he's been fed this steady diet of nut job, and you're like, well, okay, do we blame, who do we blame here? Yes, we can put some blame, but what is the blame that we put on the people who spew this fucking shit? Like, what degree of responsibility do they have?
Well, even if there's not a legal responsibility, there's always going to be a societal response to this kind of thing. So, you know, we haven't had a situation where you know, one of these gunmen is being dragged out of his bunker and he's like, Glenn Beck, I love you! Which would really just be the,
not,
you know...
Not quite, but it's always been a little bit close, and I guess we're just waiting for that day where, you know, somebody mentions it. And in fact, if you look at the incidents of right-wing violence, I think the FBI released a report saying that it was up, like, significantly. And this is also kind of a weird paradox that a lot of conservatives find themselves in, because they want to ignore the type of terrorism that their own kind makes, while sort of still claiming that terrorism is so real that you need the very government that they fear to control things. It's like, You're in a death spiral here, man. You're giving governments guns and then sort of like telling everybody to fear the government because it has so many guns. It's like, wow, the death spiral of madness here. You know, no wonder some people kind of go ape shit off the deep end, have no hope, be like, I'm going to shoot everybody from a fucking bell tower.
Yeah, and you got to hope that, you know, people are recognizing this. Apparently after the election, Fox News' ratings took a dump. And a lot of people are kind of saying it's because, you know, how do you reconcile reality with what Fox News is telling you, when people are starting to kind of realize that, you know, they're not giving you the accurate news. I mean, how can you watch a news station that basically tries to defy the reality of who won the presidential election the second it was like, oh, we're calling it for Obama? No, wait, stop right there. Or on television, it happened. It was
I saw that mad scramble with Karl Rove looking at sort of numbers, being like, how can I spend this? No.
So, and that just kicked off. Like, I mean, ever since then, of the past couple of months, it seems like, you know, even right-wing organizations are kind of looking at themselves and realizing, wow, we come off of kind of as stupid, and people aren't following us in the numbers that they used to, and we got a real demographics issue in that all of our old white followers are kicking it and dying.
They're kicking it, but let me tell you something. That last dying push is impressive, because it goes to show what degree of power these paranoid white old people actually have.
Well, this is going back to that abortion thing, and this is why this is happening, because even though they aren't more numerous than us, they do have more resources than us. And the way that these organizations work, it's kind of like, you remember when SOPA came out and the internet rallied around to fucking stop it, and we were all so proud of ourselves for organizing on one day on the internet to do something.
Yeah, we were
to stop
real,
it.
We were real winners that day.
And the government paid attention and they tabled the bill, but the sad thing about it is all of those aspects get rammed into other bills more quietly. The moneyed interests are always going to be there pushing for their causes, while we are disorganized, and maybe we'll get together at like the biggest outrages. But when it comes to this abortion thing, I mean, this is all lower level legislature stuff that nobody really pays attention to, where the attack is going on. So how are you supposed to battle that? These are people pouring millions of dollars in, paying people who have jobs. The only job they have is to try and make abortion less accessible. So how are you supposed to compete with that?
It's an interesting job. Hi, I try to make the world less safe for women. is basically what I'm doing. I mean, I've said this a few times before, and
saving baby angels. No, baby angels, you're saving them.
The saddest thing is that the most honest conversation about abortion in a movie happens in Dirty Dancing. That's what's so pathetic about it. Because in Dirty Dancing, the subplot is that the girl is trying to get an abortion, but they never even say it. They don't even dare. It's like a procedure, an operation. Every word but abortion is fucking used, man. It's all fucking subplot shit. Meanwhile, this movie is probably one of the most successful movies of all time. It's like budget $13 million, made it's like $150 or something ridiculous. But it sent the message kind of clearly saying, well, you know, when it's not legal, it still happens and just more people die. That's what it is. More people die. I hate this attitude that we have now where we just try to deny the facts and the numbers in order for it to fit our little reality. You know, I hear it all the time with people say, you know, gun advocates who just don't want any rules to apply to guns. And you're like, well, responsible gun ownership is the way. Be like, really? Well, it's not working out. Look at the numbers with countries that don't have handguns, countries that do. Countries that do, like yours, have tens of thousands of fucking death. Okay? The whole responsible gun ownership, it's all BS. It's just a matter of numbers. And you refuse to accept the reality because for you, that reality is frightening. You can just create an American reality where everything is different and everything is la-di-da and the bubble is collapsing. Like, just, you gotta wake up here.
Well, you can watch the bubble collapse. Like in Ireland, there was a woman who died. She needed an abortion.
Yes, Sanal something. I forget her last
name. Yeah, and the doctors wouldn't give it to her, and she fucking died. So that made a lot of Irish people go WTF. And I actually haven't followed. It was kind of depressing. One of those things where a tragedy happens, and there's a lot of motivation from a lot of people to have something done. And then the news cycle flips a page, and we're just not going to talk about it anymore. Let me tell you what. The news cycle is probably one of the worst things to exist ever. Nothing ever gets dealt with because we have our media has ADD.
But maybe we're taking the pessimistic view of it. Let's take another look, right? Let's take a look at saying that once in a while you'll have a big story and that'll pop up where a woman, again in Ireland, dies because she doesn't have access to abortion in a Catholic hospital. And now there's a number of people that are outraged. She has a voice, and there are groups that have come up and sprung up specifically, and you know they're going to be around for the next 20 fucking years because the whole story is outrageous enough to keep you mad for that long. Their existence, what is that going to have on the future of Ireland? Now, there's a lot of fucked up shit that happens in Ireland, and, you know, that's one example. But it's also the country that's having the fastest rise in terms of atheists because, man, the outrage, it's palpable, baby. Like, it's just on the tip of your tongue all the time.
Plus, they had a bunch of people who were raised by nuns. And let me tell you, there's one way you can increase the roles of atheists is to have a person raised by a nun.
Yeah, raised by an expert in torture and someone who just naturally hates children. Yeah, that's a good idea. Be like, they love kids so much they decided never to marry. Maybe they don't want to be around kids. That's just a fucking thought.
Yeah, maybe things will be better. Maybe they'll be getting, I mean, because, you know, you can make a definite case that in the States it's just getting worse, and it will continue to do so long as people with money continue to pour that money into organizations that are going to fight the cause.
Fight progress, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of a depressing situation. It feels, this is the big atheist problem, is it always feels like you're in the middle of this big transformation, but it's happening so slowly. Jesus ain't coming back tomorrow. Atheist Jesus isn't going to fucking bring on the atheistic end of days and everything will be better and we'll be raptured to a civilized society. Not anytime soon. Not even an atheism 9/11 could, like, completely change the way that everybody thinks about everything. We're just going to have to get down and, you know.
You know, we're going to have to step up is basically what's going to have to happen.
But even if you step up, I mean, what causes do you think we could really make great progress on over the next 10 years? I think
I really don't know, because you know what? Everything there, I feel at least right now what's happening is that we're experiencing a slow, like a technological revolution within a kind of slower social revolution, right? Within that technological revolution, we now have multiple solutions to how to live in sustainable environments. These are being developed, and there's multiple answers now. There's actually different choices that you have to live in a fucking sustainable future. The problem that we all have, it's like anything. We go to the grocery store and there's 30 fucking different types of bread and we don't know what kind of bread to have. Or we want all the different kinds of bread or we're very confused by choice. But what we have done is just divide, and we're going to continue to do this probably for another 10 years because we see the problems in the future and there's people working on it and they'll be like, 100 solutions, and I'm like, the challenge for us will be like, who's actually going to implement any of them? I think that's actually our real challenge, is just sort of to implement them, you might need to think a little bit differently. You might need to supersede this whole notion of, you know, the current nation states that we have of just saying, look, if you're waiting for your government to happen, it's not going to. We need to unite together in a new way. I don't know how that fucking happens. I really don't know. But, I mean, I'm telling you, I really don't have the feeling like most of us are going to live in a time where the people that are supposed to represent us are going to have our best interests in mind. It's clear now that they don't. All right? Remember what I was telling you about the Tea Party and how it's composed of? Do you know who composes the Tea Party generally? It's very surprising facts, actually.
Old, stupid people?
No. In fact, they are old. The average age is 55, but their IQ is actually slightly above average. It's their income that's also above average. You see, these are older people that are well-to-do, right? More than the average individual. And what they want is, you know, like very much they want Medicare, for instance, in the U.S., to apply to them, but not to apply to any other generation. And this is a perfect example of what exactly is poisoning the future of America, is because there's a lot of affluent, pretty dumb, you know, slightly above average is still dumb as far as I'm concerned.
Just
people
sheltered.
Who are just concerned with themselves alone and are basically selling out the next generation, be like, well, I'm going to die. Fuck you. Jesus is going to come or whatever. I mean, who knows what their justification is, but at the end of the day, it's fuck you. That's the justification. It's like, you don't get to have a future. The educational system in the U.S. at least, and this is happening in Canada more and more in other countries, is becoming more elitist. It becomes so expensive to have a fucking education that by the time you're out of it, you can afford nothing. You can't have a house. You can't even fucking get married. You have nothing but debt. And what do you have in terms of job prospects when you walk out? Nothing. You're fighting for fucking scraps with other people that have just as much debt as you, if not more.
Meanwhile, politicians are trying to figure out how we can, quote-unquote, compete with China. So you don't want to compete with China. You want a completely different model.
Yeah, well, to compete, what you would have had to do was say, oh, you know what, we're going to continue this model of offering education in a way that's affordable. Because how can you compete with another country that's trying to churn out like millions of fucking scientists and engineers when you're basically assuring that only the elite can achieve that? And trust me when I say this, most of the elite are fucking just lazy. They're not going to be the ones fucking launching any revolutions, okay? They just want to coast. They got money. They don't need to worry. They're going to have play with their toys. That's what rich people do. They play with their toys, okay? It's the fucking people that are hungry to change the world. They fucking tend to be slightly different.
Just letting everybody know, the good atheist is being replaced with leftist revolution radio.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It does sound that way. But let's paint now. Let's polish that turd, right? Because we spent all this time just mentioning all the bad stuff. Like, oh, the fact that unemployment for young people is rising and so on and so forth. But there's a lot of other fucking, like, great shit on the horizon. Like I was saying before, there's lots of solutions that are actually popping up to solve many of our problems. So that's fucking amazing. Like, human beings solving fucking problems, trying to save the world, and there's just millions of these people working all the time to do that. That's kind of cool, right? When you really think about it, neat. And now they have, like, tools like the internet in order to try to connect and make that happen. That's fucking cool. Like, I don't know what the future that fucking holds, right? So that's nice. I'm not painting this sort of a gray. I'm just saying that, look, if you can accept reality, you have to see the challenges. I think that ultimately the challenge is we have to say, fuck you to Dad's little system that he built. That's all. We build something very much along that, but one which doesn't sacrifice the future for the present. You know, we should all have a kind of slavish devotion to the future. That's like having kids. That's like saying, well, the future is no longer about me. It's now about you, and that's cool. That's how you ensure that a species fucking survives and doesn't go extinct. Huh? Don't go panda. Yeah? Instead, go, like, you know, full bacteria. You're interested in shaping the future, not necessarily sacrificing it just for a little bit of fun. I feel like that's where we are now. Just like, fuck the future. It's all over. And, like, how many people on this planet really are secretly wishing that happens?
What, like some kind of horrible...
apocalypse type thing? How many people want the rapture to happen in the U.S.? I would venture probably around 40% last time I saw some numbers of people who were like, yep, I want or hope that the end of the world is going to happen within my lifetime. 40% that want the earth to be in cinders, man.
And it sucks because we're so close to so many great things.
It's true. I mean,
it's kind of it's a race between the destructive tendencies of capitalism and the amazing bounty of science to see, you know, whether or not we'll be destroyed or lifted above everything. And it's kind of interesting to watch because I feel like, you know, if this was a basketball game, we're not
tense.
Yeah,
there's a lot on the line. Let's just say, you bet your daughter.
It's kind of like, you know, the all-star basketball team going to the Olympics and losing somehow. You're like, but we had all of the everything, and I don't understand.
We were a shining beacon of awesomeness at this sport, and yet we still got beaten. Be like, well, the other team was more consistent and, you know, just wanted it more. What are the other sports tropes when you're interviewed? Be like, why didn't you win?
Oh, yeah, we just came together as a team, got it done.
Yeah,
you know, hard work, kept my head down, and... I just pushed through. Exactly. You know, it came.
These are important. All of those mysterious and non-definitional things are all elements of...
Because trust me on this, China will continue to keep its head down and work hard at burning as much coal as they possibly can.
Until they suffocate themselves, pretty much. They will. So it's like somebody smoking a lot of cigarettes. They're just trying to stay awake to get work done that doesn't necessarily bode well for their lungs. Let's just say that. They definitely have, I would say, a drive to move forward. But yeah, here's the thing you have to understand about China, and this is their obsession, and you can see it in every single movie. If you're wondering what motivates China, it's not so much that they want to beat the West, by the way. Although they want to definitely be respected. You can see that. They just be like, we want respect, goddammit. But mostly they're still really, really upset that the Japanese raped them. Like, I cannot stress this enough. It's like, if you want to know who the Chinese hate, it's the Japanese, man. They have not forgiven this country. And every time the Japanese come around and says, World War II atrocities were not something we committed, oh, God. I don't even think you know. It's like the worst thing that you could possibly do. I feel like Asia still has itself to figure out. Like, when the day comes where you're like, oh, China and Japan going to war, that's silly. That's the idea of, you know, Germany and England going to war. Well... See, yeah, there's still a lot of, bitterness there.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they get along as well as they do, considering everything. I mean, even with, you know, they're floating tugboats out there in the ocean right now spraying each other with water. It's like, I mean, that literally is water sports compared to what could be going down.
I guess so. But sometimes the problem is that the oldest hatreds run the deepest. And, you know, with the whole Japan-China thing, it goes back, man. It goes back a really long time. So I think hopefully everyone can realize that all of this old hatred stuff is pretty dumb. It's pretty dumb. Like, you're all human. Just get over it. Like, all of this, oh, in the 1600s, you and some of your cavalrymen, that was not them, okay? Odds are you have some of their DNA yourself. Like, just get over it. Things happened. Life moves on. Let's have a brilliant future rather than a terrifying one because we just couldn't get over stuff. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you attacked me 300 years ago. Get over it. I could understand if it was 3 years ago. But let's move towards the healing, huh? I don't want to have to, what's I'm looking for, polish the turd of a horrible future. Yeah.
Lots of turd polishing.
Well, you know, I'm getting good at turd polishing, I think. Mm. Like, you can give me any negative thing, and I think I can sort of, like, twist it around and make it good.
You can find the light in the
black
hole.
I can find the light in the darkness. Yeah, I've gotten good at that. I think you need to when you do the sort of thing that I do. Okay, are we ready to get into this mailbag?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Now, unfortunately, for those of you that are listening to this show, you're not going to get to listen to the mailbag. That's for the DVD itself.
1 minute. So we just said we're going to do it, and now we're going to be like, bye.
No, we did a show. They get that first part show where we're just fucking around. But now we're going to record the thing for the DVD, and they don't get to listen to it until they buy it.
Oh, okay.
It's all good, man. It's still a long show. What, they didn't like a conversation? It wasn't nice and casual? They didn't have a good time? So what you're saying?
I don't know. I just didn't realize you said we're going to continue on, and then you're like, but you people aren't listening to it now. I don't know. It just confused me.
It's marketing.
Okay.
So lots of you, anyways, have already pre-ordered it. Lots of people who pre-ordered it through the book, You know, when they bought the book, they're going to be getting a free copy of the DVD anyway. So there's a ton of people that are going to just instantly, bam, have access. They don't even know they have the essentials. It's just waiting there to just be released in a few days. So this mailbag that we're recording is like the last thing to be finished, and then the DVD goes out. So isn't that fun?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And we get to record this when we're in the same room. Yeah, yeah.
It seems appropriate. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, with that, we're going to catch everybody next week for another show. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.